right, so I'm going to jump in and assume that people who want to hear this and weren't able to make it today will just listen to the recording, which is why we do those. So this is a recurrent theme that you all get from me over and over again just because of my core interest in family caregivers, but also because it is really relevant to the entire state, especially with relation to the speed at which the proportion of over adults is growing in a lot of the counties and across the state. And that is family caregiving. So I define family caregiving as anyone who is providing unpaid care to a family member or a friend with some kind of illness or a disability. And so that includes a lot of different people, and it includes a whole variety of circumstances. And what I wanted to do today was just talk a little bit about what caregiving looks like in Wisconsin, and introduce you to a resource that we created to help have these conversations in the communities, which is specifically an infographic detailing all of this and sort of summarizing it in a hopefully visually appealing way. So that's the handout for today. So if you are following along on the handout, you can download that from the website or from the email that Libby sent around. It's something that we created that you can use with your communities, and also is something that can be modified. And so I'll talk through that a little bit as we go along. So just starting on the front page, where we're talking about caregiving in Wisconsin. What we see across the state is that 18% of Wisconsinites, which totals about 1 million people, provide informal care for a family member or a friend. And that's in the past month. So just in the past 30 days, we've got nearly a fifth of adults in Wisconsin providing informal care. That doesn't count anyone who is under the age of 18. So there are situations where there are children who are helping to provide care to their parents. There are teenagers who are helping to provide care to grandparents. They don't get counted in this total. This is just among the adults. In addition to that, when you ask people if they plan to become a caregiver sometime in the next 2 years, 15% say yes. So when you add that all together, that's about a third of adults across the state who think that they either are or will be caregivers in the near future. It's really at the forefront of their mind. That's a lot. That's really prevalent. This also varies dramatically from county to county, and I do have estimates on most but not all counties, which you are welcome to reach out to me for. As an example, though, if we're looking at Kenosha County, 32% of adults in Kenosha County say that they are currently providing care. 32%, almost a third of people are currently providing care to a family member or friend. Then you can contrast that to Eau Claire County, where it's only 11% of people. So you can see that this varies dramatically across the state. The next section on this infographic gives just some demographics, some basic information about care providers and care recipients. So on average, in Wisconsin, care providers are 51 years of age. I don't know how well that lines up with the way that other people have caregivers situated in their minds. For me, that's always younger than I expect caregivers to be. I think of caregivers as being older adults themselves a lot of the time, but they're not. They're often middle-aged. They're in the prime of their life. They are working and trying to balance multiple responsibilities and take on this caregiving role. And again, the range there is huge. So everyone from 18 years old up to 95 can be caregivers. It's about half and half male and female, a little bit weighted towards females, which is not surprising based on what we know about how family responsibilities often shake out. And around 62% of caregivers are employed. So we have a lot of people who are trying to deal with multiple roles and trying to keep lots of plates spinning at the same time. On the right side of that is information about care recipients. On average, care recipients are older. They're about 68 years of age, and they are more likely to be female. So about 62% of care recipients are female, and 38% are male. That's not surprising, given that we know women have longer life expectancies than men. The bottom part there talks about what some of the most common conditions are that care recipients have, and of course, there's a more detailed list that we can draw from. But about 10% have dementia or Alzheimer's. About 7% have cancer. And then, of course, there's a huge other list of conditions, including things as simple as frailty, someone who just can't do something for themselves anymore, someone who's had a fall and is injured because of that. There's a huge range. So one of the things that I like to point out here is that it could be surprising what conditions are most prevalent. Not that dementia and Alzheimer's is one of the most prevalent conditions, but that it's only 10% of the population of care recipients. And that, I think, sometimes comes as a surprise because there is so much emphasis in our communities right now about supporting families that are dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's. I'm totally on board with that. That is important. It's a hard issue for families to deal with. It's a hard issue for communities to deal with. But it's not the only issue that caregivers are dealing with, and it's not even the majority of caregivers who are dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's. There's a lot of other things going on. So if that is surprising to you, or you think it might be surprising to your constituents, that is an important point to be able to have a discussion around, because there might be a lot of things about aging that are misconceptions that we have the opportunity to clear up. Caregiving also crosses many different relationships. In Wisconsin, about 37% of those people who reported being caregivers are providing care for a parent or an in-law. About 16% are caring for their spouse, and about 12% are caring for their child. And then the people involved are caring for someone else. It could be a neighbor, it could be a friend, it could be an aunt or an uncle, a huge variety, sibling. Care recipients often receive care for a variety of issues. That can include helping to care for their home, so things like getting the lawn cared for, shoveling snow, but also things inside the house, from minor repairs to just regular housework. Transportation, so people who can no longer drive or who just need help getting from one place to another often receive help from family members or friends to do that. Help with caring for themselves is one of the more intensive ones. So things like bathing and eating, that is a daily need. And people who can't do that on their own or need support with that have intensive caregiving needs and need someone there to help them with that. Care recipients often experience symptoms of depression and anxiety, especially when they are transitioning into care. And so they sometimes need help relieving that, whether that means going to the doctor or just having emotional support from that family member or friend as they're dealing with whatever condition or whatever life experiences are occurring for them. And then help with mobility. So getting out of bed and into a wheelchair is a good example of that. People who are older and have maybe had a fall and just need a little bit of support going from one place to another, that's often a need that a caregiver fills and a role that they play. Caregiving is also very time-consuming, and this is one that I think is an eye-opener for a lot of community members. The average caregiver in Wisconsin spends 20 hours per week on caring. So the average caregiver essentially has caregiving as a part-time job. And, of course, the range there is wide. Some people spend less than an hour per week on caregiving. Some people spend almost every waking hour providing care. But the average is essentially a part-time job for these caregivers, as we know, 62% of whom are already employed and are working a job on top of that. For 15% of our caregivers, they're spending 40 hours a week or more providing care. That's a lot. That's a full-time job, and for some people, it's two full-time jobs, and that's a whole 15% of this caregiving population. And a full third of caregivers have been providing care for 5 years or more, meaning that it's a long-term commitment. It's something that they are not just doing for a few weeks. They're not just doing it for a few years. It's something that, or for a few months, it is something that is happening for years. And that can be a big trigger for burden in caregivers. That's something that's ongoing, and if it's hard for them to get resources to support them in that. It's also very valuable. Caregivers provide approximately $7 billion worth of unpaid labor every year. $7 billion with a B. So the work that caregivers are doing is exceptionally valuable and exceptionally useful. And then there's an impact on caregivers themselves, which means that there are both benefits, but then also difficulties that they experience. Some common benefits that caregivers report are things like feeling a sense of purpose in life, having a better relationship with the care recipient, just feeling warm fuzzies, feeling joy and gratitude. They also gain practical skills that then some caregivers may go on to use in other areas of their life, things like how best to help someone get out of bed, how best to problem solve for complicated issues that come along with caregiving. And they often experience increased self-esteem. They feel good about themselves for providing care. Those are all very tangible benefits and have a big impact on caregivers and their well-being. On the flip side, they report experiencing a lot of difficulties. Things like not enough time for family, not enough time for themselves, which is a big issue. Caregivers can't take care of themselves. They don't have anything left to care for the person that they are responsible for. It can be supremely stressful for some caregivers. Not for all caregivers. That's not a given. But for some caregivers, it's very burdensome and very stressful, and that has its own health consequences. It can also be financially burdensome. Providing care to someone is expensive. Buying gas, modifying a home, helping to buy medical supplies, all of that is very expensive and often comes out of pocket for caregivers. And it can affect family relationships, especially for caregivers who are trying to balance multiple roles. It changes things. And if someone's caring for a parent, for example, they're kind of going from a role where their parent is caring for them, even as an adult, there's a little bit of that, to where they are primarily responsible for their parent. That can be uncomfortable for both people in that situation. So that's what caregiving looks like in Wisconsin. Now, we have one iteration of this handout, this infographic, where the backside has a space to include county-level information, with space for things like resources that caregivers might use or programming that's available for caregivers, meant to be customizable by the county. That one is not up on their website right now, but we'll put that one up so that you have access to that as well, so that you can customize that, and if you want to hand it out to caregivers, so that they know both the basics of caregiving and then what's available for them, that works. If you want to hand it out to more system level, partners so that they have information about both what caregiving is and what's available to caregivers, that's an opportunity. It's customizable, so please use it as you see fit. If you flip over this version, though, or go to the second page, when we sent this around to many Extension educators to get their feedback, Judy Knudsen in Brown County, and Judy, I don't know if you're on the line, but if you are, thank you for doing this, requested a version for her county that had more information about older adults in general, in order to further inform what this looks like in Brown County. It would be great if we had all of this caregiving information on a county level. We don't. We know for most counties what proportion of people report being caregivers, but we don't have any of the other details. So we don't know average hours per week, for example, on a county level. We don't know average age or what proportion of caregivers are employed on a county level. But we do have some other information about older adults who might need care or people with disabilities who might need care, and that can really inform the conversation as well. So this back page is looking at Brown County specifically, just as an example, and Judy, again, thank you for suggesting this because I love this approach. So as I mentioned, the proportion of caregivers on a county level varies dramatically. In Brown County, it's actually the same as statewide. It's 18%, but in other counties, it can be vastly different, vastly higher or vastly lower. So that's important for county-level information to understand what people are looking at in their own communities, exactly how big of a burden this represents for residents, and how big of an opportunity for supporting families. In Brown County, we also wanted to highlight the fact that older adults are more likely to need care as they age. And so some information about that is in Brown County, 13% of residents are 65 or older, and the projection is that in 2040, that's going to rise to 21% of Brown County residents being 65 or older. again, this is something that's going to vary dramatically from county to county. We already know that, but that can be a really impactful message to share what proportion of people are aging and are at increased likelihood of needing to have someone caring for them as time goes by. In Brown County, almost a third of older adults live alone, which might be great. You know, that might indicate that there's lots of support for independence. It might also be an indicator that there are some needs around social isolation, things like Meals on Wheels, other support services. And older adults who live alone and who may not be as strong as they once were are also at risk of things like falls and not having someone there to help them if they fall, which leads to the next statistic here. Every year in Brown County, there are 114 fall fatalities per 100,000 Brown County residents 65 and older. So that basically gives the rate of falls that actually kill people in Brown County. And that's not a particularly high rate, but it's not nothing. And that can be concerning and can be a marker for how well communities are caring for the older adults in their population and supporting older adults. The other important fact here is that it's not just older adults who need care. It's people of all ages who need care, especially if they have a chronic illness or a disability. So there's some details about that here as well. 10% of Brown County residents in between the ages of 18 and 64 have a disability, and a third of residents over age 65 have a disability. Not all people with disabilities need additional care from family caregivers, but a lot of them do. A lot of them have needs with their daily living activities, things that are instrumental to their life. And so then we close this infographic with just some information about what disabilities people have. So hearing difficulty, cognitive difficulty, vision difficulty, trouble getting around, trouble with other self-care, and trouble with living independently. So this, again, just gives a snapshot of what are the care needs potentially in Brown County and gives some basis for starting a conversation around caregiving on a county level. And again, I mentioned earlier, but we do have another version of this that has the county level information about the proportion of caregivers and then has space to include more information about things like what programs are available, who caregivers can contact for more information, anything that can provide resources for the community and just spread that information a little bit better. So I am going to pause there and open it up for thoughts and questions. What do you all think about this? Do you think that this is going to be useful for you? Was there anything surprising to you, or do you think that anything's going to be surprising to your constituents if you use this?
This is Karen Anadagimi. I like how it's simple, but yet it tells a lot of information. So the way you described it, you know, could be shared like with a county board committee
mm-hmm.
or other decision makers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the intent, was to sort of drill it down to the necessities. But it is a lot of information. So there's a potential that it could still be overwhelming, even though we attempted to simplify it and help it be digestible. And so I think having a shepherd in that process is always a good thing to guide through the discussion around this. Karen, I don't know. It might just be you and me today. I'm not sure.
I'm on.
Okay.
This is Deb Huco.
Hi, Deb.
I have a set on mute.
Hey, this is Lori Baltrucius, and I am just wondering, I think I missed how to create it for specific counties.
Yeah, so there is, thank you for bringing up that point. So on the Coffee Break blog site, there is a PowerPoint version that you can modify, and there's instructions in the comment section on how to modify it. The one that is up on the website right now is the one that has the detail about older adults and people with disabilities. I will make sure that we post another version that is also in PowerPoint that just has less stuff on the bottom so that there's space to include things about programming and some suggestions about what might be included that could be useful. So in PowerPoint, you basically just follow the step-by-step directions and make the changes. And if you need support with that, if, for example, you're having trouble figuring out where to pull information from or which numbers to include, I'm happy to help with that and provide one-on-one support in creating the county-level versions.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Well, we might just keep this short today and let everyone enjoy the sunshine. Hopefully it's sunny for almost everyone today. Just want to close by saying that this is a resource that we created to help county educators have these conversations and to just disseminate some of this information, what we know, and start conversations. And, of course, I'm always open to feedback. This will always be a work in progress. So any feedback that people get from their constituents, any feedback that people have as they try to work with this this information and this particular resource, or, you know, questions more about caregiving in general, I'm happy to have those conversations. And you can reach out to me through email or through phone to start that conversation and to help guide what direction you need this to go in, because this is meant to be a resource for you. So I will close by saying that next month, we are going to be talking about super cool tools. There is a website from Stanford. Well, it's a project from Stanford called the Sightline Project. What it does is look at trends over time related to healthy living, financial security, social engagement. And it is a really, it represents things visually in a really nice way that could come in very handy for a lot of the programming that you all do. So we will be walking through that website next month to show you how you can use it. And also there's just some really interesting information on there that can inform the way that you as educators think about these things and share some of these things with your communities. So we will talk about that, and it really is a super cool tool. So I'm excited about that conversation. I will end us there. Again, please get in touch if you have questions or if you want to talk more about these issues or if you need help customizing one of these infographics, and let me know how it goes if you share them out. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.